What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And I'm sure we'll probably talk some real estate too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can lose our identities and struggle at times. This is the podcast to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there who's going through these things, this is the show for you. Just some housekeeping before we get started. It is a Thursday episode, so we've got some guests in studio today. Reminder, we are doing the book club again for the month of March. This month, we're reading Think and Grow Rich. So get the book, read it together. At the end of the month, we'll do a podcast on the book and kind of go over it and recap and, you know, get our takeaways. It is the whole audiobook is on YouTube and Spotify for free. So check that out if you're not into reading actual books and just want to listen to it and recap it with us. So like I said, we are it's a Thursday episode. So we've got some guests in studio today. Let me introduce you to Juan Beltran with STL Kicks and Nico Cristelli with Concrete Cowboy.
What's going on, guys?
What's up? Thanks for joining us, fellas.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys coming on.
We appreciate you having us.
Yeah, so tell us and the listeners a little bit about yourselves.
Originally, I was born in Colombia, in Barranquilla, Colombia. My parents and I moved here when I was about 9 years old. Lived in Miami for a while, and then we had more family here in St. Louis, so we all just ended up that transition moving here, and I've been here ever since. And I went to Mobile High School.
How old were you when you moved here?
I was 9 years old.
Okay.
Went to Mobile High School, graduated, started playing college ball. That honestly, it was like it turned into a job at some point, so I had to balance like what I wanted to do, like as to my future. Then I just started this business, STL Kicks, and realized the potential it had. So I started investing more of my time into that, which that led to me stepping off of soccer because I couldn't balance both at the same time. Like I would have to work and then I had a soccer game. So I was like, what can I do here? So I would just talk to my parents and like ask them what advice they would give me. And they just told me to follow my passion and whatever I enjoyed the most. And that ended up being STL Kicks, which is now like a huge platform that just keeps growing every single day. And things are going pretty good. I'm just happy. I'm very grateful for like everything I've worked and that I have yet to do. And all the people that I've been able to meet, I've been able to meet really great individuals on a daily basis. I've talked to super, super cool entrepreneurs, rappers, athletes, NFL players. Super cool, man.
For those people that don't know, tell us about STL Kicks.
STL Kicks is a sneaker reselling business that first started off as a hustle, like a side hustle for me to like make money while I was in college.
And how long ago did you start it?
I started this in 2017, but I didn't actually like step on the gas until 2018, 2019.
And where'd you go to college?
First, I went to Missouri Baptist University.
Okay.
Then I transferred to Hurstville University, but I was only there for I was only there for half a semester.
Okay.
And then that's when I decided to like step off soccer and focus fully on school and just my business, which is STL Kicks. STL Kicks started just by buying shoes locally. Well, this started like a long time ago. I always liked sneakers, but me personally never had the money to like buy them. So I would have to convince my parents every single time, like, Mom, can you get me these? Mom, can you get me these? She would always be like, no, like we have no money for these shoes. Like these shoes are way too much. So one day I convinced them. I was on vacation in Dallas, Texas. We're on vacation and I convinced them to buy me a pair of Kobe's. And then I went to school and started like hooping and flexing these shoes. I was like, bro, my kicks are fire. But later on that year, I ended up selling them. And since then I was like, yo, shoes are fire. Like, this is cool. What I just did. There was some guy from DeSmet that was reselling crazy at the time. He ended up like going to jail or something. Something happened to him. He like disappeared out of the picture. But to summarize everything, STL Kicks is just a resale business that now it's diving more into providing value to the sneaker community on all the hypebeasts around the world, which at first it was just like a flipping business. I would just buy shoes and resell them. Just flip, quick flips. But now we've been diving deeper into just providing the most value that we can to the community. And Instagram has been responding super well with those things. Our account has grown 5,000-6,000 followers in like the past month.
That's incredible. Holy shit.
We've been diving fully like deep into just providing value to people and also entertaining these people, responding back to their comments. Most of the comments are negative, but some people actually have good, positive things to say, which we respond to every single one of them, even the negative ones, because that just helps us as a business. But
especially if you can respond to those negative ones with kindness and empathy, yeah, it's going to show.
It's always kindness.
It shows who you guys are as people.
We always respond. I've never responded.
Don't stoop.
Yeah. I've never with any negativity, even though some people say the craziest stuff on social media.
Crazy.
I look at these comments and I'm like, bro, how can somebody take the time out of their day to be so negative and just put this terrible energy out there in the world? Yeah, and this is some random person that God knows where they're from, but they take the time out of their day to just talk bad about something, bash someone's name, or really just talk shit about whatever emotion they're feeling. And that blows my mind, because I feel like me as a person, I would never be able to do such a thing, just comment some hateful shit or some mean stuff on someone's post.
That's why you're doing what you're doing and they're doing what they're doing.
Right. I can't think of one time I posted anything negative on social media.
And I mean, let's be real. Have you really made it if you don't have haters?
No, that's true.
No?
Yeah. There's so many. It's mind blowing. But I guess when you're doing something kind of good, people are always going to hate and talk bad about it. Back to the sneaker.
I want to get kind of into that. How, when you get started, where are you buying these shoes? Where are you selling them? How does that work?
So first we started buying these shoes locally. Off Facebook Marketplace.
Buying them from buddies or
Facebook Marketplace and OfferUp. That was the place where.
That was the method in 2020 to 2022.
That was pretty much a method.
Oh my God, it was ridiculous. People were selling them out the ass because there was such a surplus of sneakers. And
in 2020 there was?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And obviously no one had any damn money. I mean, everyone was working. And it was just crazy with us. I mean, I'll get to my story here in a little bit, but I met him in 2020.
Okay.
And we kind of just caught a whim of each other, and we were big fans of each other. And, we did informal business side by side, not together, but we did stuff as a duo, but we took what we got and we made our own profits from it. But I grew up until recently. But yeah, on that basis, for the last 4 years, it started with Facebook Marketplace and OfferUp.
Okay. So you guys are buying them and selling them on the same platform?
Either or.
We were mostly selling them through, I was in this WhatsApp group chat with kids from all over the US. Okay. And also Instagram. I was selling on Instagram the most.
Really?
Instagram has been my platform since we started. That's where all of our audience is. That's where all the people that knows us, all my references, everything is on there. Okay. That was the structure of the business, just Instagram.
Wow. Okay.
And the infrastructure runs deep now, but I mean, back in the day, that's pretty much how you got around, where different marketplaces live on different platforms. For the sneaker community, I can speak out on this with absolute positivity. I mean, it lived on Instagram. It thrived on Instagram. So, I mean, that's mainly, even when I was a solo seller as well, I did the same thing, just obviously not on a scale of wands. I did my own. I had my own page. I sold to my own community. And when I met him, obviously my network kind of expanded. His network expanded as well. And
yeah, I want to kind of get into your background too. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Sure. Well, my name is Nico Criselli. For those who don't know, I am from Southern Colorado, from a small town called Pueblo. I just grew up playing baseball all my life. I devoted almost every ounce of effort and emotion and whatnot into baseball. And that's exactly what brought me here to St. Louis. I am a graduate from Webster University. I played baseball there for 3 years. Shout out to them and for all the good hospitality that they left me with and whatnot. But I mean, yeah, baseball is just a huge part of my life, and I devoted everything with it. And I shout out my parents and my little brother for just always supporting me and getting me to where I needed to be and the journey along, and all the coaches along with it, especially Mark Johnson from Cherry Creek High School. Shout out to you. He's a legend. I mean, and especially in Colorado with high school baseball, dude's just a wizard with it. He's coached USA baseball, and just, he's been a major league scout for 40 years. He is just a great dude. And he truly let me evolve into the baseball player that I was for the last 3 years, and truly gave me that, that insight to what college ball is and, getting to that next level. Cause I mean, I was blessed enough to see another few years of baseball. Most people's career ends in high school. As sad as that sounds, I mean, that's where it ends. And I was blessed with the opportunity to come here and, meet people like Juan and meet people like you guys now. And so it's truly a pleasure since I've been here. But yeah, I just graduated with a degree in sports and entertainment management, and just actively looking for a great job to house me. And I want to be able to contribute to the ball club or to a company that would, you know, take me in and whatnot. So, I mean, that's where I've been. And my baby, Concrete Cowboy, is a modern minimalistic clothing company that I created last year. I got a lot of my resources through him, a buddy of his, shout out Dre in LA. He truly pointed me in the right direction to get started with a clothing brand and what formats I could use, what type of methods I would use for printing. And I mean, I do everything. I market my own stuff. I print my own shirts and everything. I ship everything. There's not a single other person that does that other than me. And I met Juan in 2020, kind of whacked him on a little shoe deal. He wasn't the biggest fan of me
really?
After we did that. Yeah. But I mean, he was really kind about it and he was tolerant. And it stood out to me because a lot of people would have gotten really upset and never contacted me again. But I reached out to him and he was like open arms. I didn't know anyone when I came here. I was completely alone, and I was ready. I was ready to explore and whatnot. And boy, oh boy, was he like my guide, not only through St. Louis, but with life and just, you know, exploring new people and options and channels of business and whatnot. So that truly, he fueled my fire. So big shout out to this guy right here.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Kind of like what the three of us have going on over here.
Yeah, for sure.
Truly, it's what it sounds like from what we talked about before. Yeah. Sounds like you guys all just kind of met each other by like almost by chance, you know, and
mm-hmm.
took full advantage of what you guys had to offer for each other. And it wasn't even that. You guys, it built a friendship upon it and you put that first more than business.
Sure. 100%.
So that's truly what matters in this world and day and age, bro. People are evil and they will do anything to knock you down, man. So when you have a genuine friendship, truly, if anyone out there listening, if you get a genuine friendship, treasure it, man.
Absolutely.
And grow with that person.
Very well said.
That's what we've been in the last 4 years, man. And we've made unforgettable memories and unforgettable relationships with other people that we value. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Now you both mentioned your passions. So your passions for clothing,
yes, sir,
and developing clothing, yours is for shoes. Where did those passions come from? What is it that took you towards shoes? What took you towards clothes?
I can start. I mean, I can say this. Both of us have actually talked about this, and a big influence, believe it or not, super controversial dude, but I can say it with confidence, Kanye West, for the both of us. I mean, he truly is
very polarizing
in the sneaker and fashion industry, and he's polarizing. Exactly. He shakes the world no matter what he does. He's always going to put something out entertaining. So, I mean, with me clothing, I was obsessed with Yeezy. I was obsessed with just streetwear at a very young age. Like I was like 13, 14 years old. And I mean, I was watching these Louis Vuitton runway shows and Prada and Rick Owens, even at that, when they were very, very low down and whatnot. But Yeezy primarily because I loved him as an artist. But when I heard that he was dabbling into fashion, I was like, oh, he's got to do something cool, right? And I mean, he did the Yeezy season 2 show or the Yeezy season 3 show. I remember this like it was yesterday. He had people influential that nowadays they're like icons, you know, Lil Yachty when he was a nobody. Mm-hmm. No one knew who Lil Yachty was. He was just a guy with red dreads.
Right.
Just a guy with red dreads, and him and people like Ian Connor, which obviously he didn't have the most fortunate situation for people that don't know who that is, but another fashion icon that, you know, just creates art. It's not even like clothing at that point. It's art that you can wear on your body. So, I mean, Kanye West for me personally, but I know Juan's probably got someone else that probably fueled the fire.
For me, it was definitely Kobe Bryant. Whenever I first got to the U.S., Kobe was like, his career was at his prime. He was going crazy. So I always looked up to the guy because he's very inspiring and just like, I would say he was just like a great mentor to whoever he spoke to. And like the times he did interviews and everything, all the things he's said, I feel like that guy was just crazy. So I started repping his sneakers. And then after that, the Kanye wave came along and Kanye was doing crazy things. He was working with crazy collaborators like Virgil Abloh, which this guy, nobody will ever be as big or like in fashion, there's levels. And I don't think, in my own opinion, someone else might think something differently. But in my opinion, nobody ever will surpass what Virgil Abloh did for fashion and
for the world,
the whole industry. That guy was...
Can you fill me in? Because I have no idea.
So Virgil Abloh was the creator of Off-White, a streetwear brand that really was kind of set itself apart from other streetwear brands, but it was luxury. It was like luxury streetwear. And you see it nowadays and people are putting out some crazy things, but exactly. But he had a collaboration with Nike that, I mean, just, it created
it was Off-White 10 collection.
I've heard of that.
It was the craziest. It's a pivotal moment in just fashion history. You know, I mean, you hear about, oh, the Jordan in 85. The original Jordan 1 in 1985. Mm-hmm. Now you hear about the Virgil Abloh collection in 2008. Yeah. I mean, it will forever last and put an impression on the sneaker in fashion world.
But it's prior to Virgil doing all these things, he was already working with big people like Kanye. He was one of the graphic designers for the College Dropout. He designed a lot of those things. Kanye already had him under his wing. He was doing a lot of his like creative work. Virgil Abloh was doing all this until he decided to start his own thing. He created this brand called Pyrex, which it didn't really do too well, but he was just giving this out to celebrities like A$AP Rocky, all these big name celebrities, and they were just wearing these things. And because of that, he was able to get traction with Pyrex, which later on turned out to be Off-White. But before there was an Off-White, there was a Pyrex that like inspired him to dive deep into streetwear and use all his connections and his network to literally just get attention and drive sales to his brand, which turned into be one of the most lucrative, coolest brands I've ever came across, which is now Off-White.
And it turned into his peak with being the creative director for Louis Vuitton. And that's what most people that are catching on to Virgil really know him as the creative director for, sadly, 2 years. Rest in peace to Virgil. He died from brain cancer, right? But that's where he ended his life, was with Louis Vuitton. And I mean, he was putting out the most beautiful and most well thought out pieces that Louis Vuitton's probably ever seen. And I mean, just stuff that you really can't replicate. I mean, you could duplicate it, but you can't, you know, really make something as original and as beautiful as it truly. So it will always be a derivative of that. So yeah, Virgil, I can definitely agree with Juan, is someone that could definitely fuel.
Funny story. He was he's from Rockford, Illinois, right like an hour away from Chicago. I actually know a friend that went to the high school where Virgil Abloh attended, and he did something for the soccer teams, which gave like the whole team uniforms and jerseys and stuff with Off-White. So she was like telling me about that. She was like, "Hey,
you got to get one of the jerseys, huh?"
She told me her brother had one. I was like, "Yo, I want to see that." That's what he's like,
that, I mean, that's I can tell, dude. That's like, oh, that's
that doesn't have a price tag.
No,
oh, I'm sure.
There's no other.
No,
right?
No
other. Yeah, that I bet that thing. You get one of those jerseys. It's.
I was like, "Yo, I want to see this." Like, ever since she told me that, that's always been in the back of my head. She's like, "Dude, you can pull up to my house and like look at the items and stuff." She's like, "It's my brother's, but you can take a look at them and like."
Yeah, those are one of one.
And that's the crazy thing, man. Sick. When you mix stuff like that, that's as influential as it is in the world, and then something as addictive and explosive as sports, and you put the two together, it's like nothing better.
Yeah.
It's seriously, there's nothing better when you see stuff like that where it's like these professional clubs with these like world-class athletes who like devote their life in everything that they have to this sport, and you have someone as creative as someone as Virgil Abloh just give you a jersey, you know, just something to wear. But it's like, so his influence is so crazy that when people see it, it's like they lose their minds. It's like there's no value to it. Like, it's infinite. Like, when you truly think of it, it's an infinite value because of just the passion and the precision that goes into, you know, a thought like that. And that's exactly why, like, his inspiration to me as well, it's to be picky, you know, with my brand as well. I've only put out 2 shirts, and that's the thing. I wanted to start with shirts because, you know, they're easy. But I wanted to be particular on what I put on a shirt, and I don't want to just put stuff out there. You know, I just want to, you know, I want to have some sort of sentiment or some sort of like true value with a meaning behind it. And
you might have to make the Zach and Pat show apparel.
I can do that. Yeah, if you guys really want to. Yeah,
we've been talking about it.
We were just talking about merch.
With merchandise and whatnot. So I mean, if you guys truly need that, I'd be more than happy to help you guys out.
We'll
with
talk
that
after the show for sure.
Virgil Abloh's career is, I want to touch back on that because I look at his career as like a really good example for people to not put themselves inside of one box and just do one thing. This guy started as an architect. Architects design buildings, but he put himself in this position where he wasn't like designing buildings. He used his architect knowledge to design clothing brands, which later on led him to design for to be the head designer for Louis Vuitton, which after that he did a whole design for Mercedes-Benz. He designed a Rolls-Royce, a G-Wagon. And I saw an interview that he was just explaining about how people put themselves like inside of a box and
never want to leave it.
Yeah, and like you can't do that with life because you have to challenge yourselves. I feel like for me, I love challenges. I love when someone personally challenges me to be a better version of myself. So I just thought that was really cool how his career is pretty much an example of don't put all your eggs in one basket. There's many things you could do at the same time, but just make sure you provide really good value to everything you're doing and do it passionate, like with passion. This guy was very passionate about everything he did. So all his projects were very well thought out and everything turned out so great that it's just very admiring to see this type of people and good motivation for the youth and all the kids that are into this industry.
Mm-hmm. And if you guys are like interested in like learning more about him, there's like, I mean, there is a plethora of videos just covering his life and his youth and him growing up through, you know, his adolescent years and whatnot and him growing into this just phenom in terms of design. So, I mean, if you guys truly, I mean, obviously you guys want to expand your, everyone wants to right. expand their knowledge. They, like, sure. like any normal human should, I would 100% recommend yeah, watching anything, sure. anything okay. about him, whether it be a documentary, a short video, a reel, an Instagram reel, watch anything something, you can huh? about him. Cause he truly left the world with a mark that no one else will be able to leave like the same of.
Sweet. Sweet. So how did you two link up? What's the story there?
Dude, the link up was crazy. This guy low-key taxed me on some shoes, but I was so desperate so like, to buy shoes because I needed them. I was moving way
exchange,
too many shoes.
Yeah.
So I was super, super desperate. And also, the next day, there was a sneaker convention where I was vending. I had a booth there.
Chesterfield Mall, baby.
And then we met right in front of Lindbergh High School. We did the meetup there, right at Lindbergh High School. And I met this guy and I was in my head, I was like, bro, this guy just waxed me, but whatever. Like, I'll just buy the shoes.
So like he bought them. It from him because you needed to sell.
He needed just stock for the sneaker exchange, you know, just got as many shoes as possible. You know, I make a good splash there. You know,
sure.
I'm going to say this a few times, got to flex the financial guns. So.
Yeah. Okay.
And then after that, I think he shot me a text or I texted him. I was like, yo, I'm going to the sneaker convention. You could pull up if you want. And he ended up pulling up and we, ever since there. There was just like a natural connection. Like I was like, this is a good guy. Like he seems like a good guy and I want to trust that he is a good guy. And here we are today.
And how long ago was this?
This was four years ago. Okay. About 3.5 years ago. About 4 years marking.
This is like middle of COVID.
Middle of COVID. Yeah. Like just like complete, you know,
stimulus
despair.
Money.
Yeah.
Despair, bro. I mean, at first it was money. At first it was like, you know what? We're pretty marketable people. Like we're pretty sure anyone else would really agree with us. We're loud personalities, the two of us, even though we kind of offset each other in a personality sense. We're both very loud personalities and in our own ways. But I mean, we at first we were like, oh, we could definitely profit off each other. You know, like we're like yin and yang. We just get right with it, you know. And then it came to a point where it was like a true friendship, you know, developed. And it was addictive to like be around him, you know. And I smiled. I never shed a tear. I never wanted to like, you know, strangle. I mean, there's been a few times where I wanted to strangle him, but it was like, you know, friendship type of stuff. I got to keep
it
in check. Exactly.
Yeah.
But at first, bro, it was like, it was a true friendship where you feel at home and like you're around him and you're like,
whew. It's calm.
You know, just like I can be myself.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's what he was to me.
So as part of the like STL Kicks, like, is there, you guys kind of like, separate your responsibilities? Like, how does it work? Does like one of you handle like all the inventory? Does one of you handle the sales? Like, how does that work?
He handles most of the internet work, Instagram marketing,
okay,
creating graphics, all that stuff. He's the guy for that. I handle the inventory, sales, and my other my assistant. His name is Grant. He's the guy
Shout
that does
Grant.
Pickups and deliveries. This guy is a beast, killing it, literally on the road all day, every single day, buying shoes, cashing people out.
He's okay. A good dude. He's personable. He's easy to talk to. He makes great deals. I mean, he's truly, and he, it's funny enough, they knew each other in high school and we saw each other at a restaurant one day. It was like, yo, bro, like going on, do you need work now? And he's like, yeah, bro. Like you want to bring me on? It's like, yeah. And he was passionate. He's passionate about what he does. And he's just a respectful dude. You know, that's what we want to represent, a brand like this. And I've pleasured, like it's just all pleasure is all mine. He brought me on officially in like 2022, right? About at the end of 2021. Beginning of 2022, and he was like, bro, I want you to handle like social media. I want you to handle like stuff, you know, like I trust you to like not make a stupid decision. And I'm like, 100%. Like, obviously, we make mistakes, but we keep each other in check. We always double check with each other before we put something out there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he brought Grant on, and it was like, this is a dude that he was like, what do you think? Like, is this like a go? And I was like, yeah, bro. Seems like a pretty reliable dude. And like, you know, it's a big responsibility. You're letting this dude,
sure.
Here's the thing. We're sending him money to send to these people. And it's like, he could easily, you know, take these shoes and run off.
Sure. Now, like when you guys are buying these shoes, is it like, are you guys buying like bulk pair? Like, are you still getting them off Facebook Marketplace today?
No. Right now it's almost strictly clientele based. Yeah. And I mean, it's
so you got like a guy. You got
yeah.
A
and he handles all of like the deals. I mean, he'll
that's
tell
where
you.
That's I grew the clientele. It was on Facebook.
Crazy.
I grew it. I took it from Facebook and I just had all these people. I was like, yo, follow this account on Instagram. I would, because for a while I was doing all this shit myself.
Okay.
When all this started to get it from the ground up, I was doing all this myself. I did this by myself for about 2.5-3 years, and I kind of burned myself out a little bit because I was just doing way too much work. And I pretty much wasn't prioritizing my health, and I just realized that I couldn't do this on my own the whole time. I was like, I'm going to try to do this for as long as possible as I can by myself. But after that, it was just like, I need to bring people on. I need more help. I need people to help me so I can focus up a little bit on myself and prioritize my health as well as my business. And that's when Nico appeared, and that's when Grant appeared. And honestly, I'm just blessed to work with such great individuals and people that share a passion for something that I love so much. And we have very similar interests, not just sneakers. We, sports, we're just very similar. All three of us are very similar and share like a passion for some of the same things.
Music, sports, lifestyle, everything and everything you could possibly think of. We're all very like-minded, which everyone has like the same collective, but like to have the exact same interests, it's rare, really rare, truly, when you think about it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, one thing you said that got me thinking is, like, no good company ever does everything all by themselves.
No.
Like eventually you have to start bringing in things. Like I was having coffee with a guy yesterday, and this kind of subject came up, and it was all about, like, man, you get to a point in your business that you find out the shit that you're really good at. Mm-hmm. And then for me, it's been building like a team around me of, all right, well, I'm good at this. All right, so I'm going to do that. But I suck at these other things, and it's all about finding people that you can plug the holes with and find the people that, you know, the puzzle pieces that fit so that you guys can, you know, paint that beautiful picture. And it sounds like that's what you guys have done here. So
exactly, bro. I said this yesterday, shout out Sam. We're talking about, you know, how a picture's worth 1,000 words. And I said this exact words yesterday. I'm honestly going to stick with this as my own quote.
But, hit it.
A relationship's worth 1,000,000, even though a picture's worth 1,000, a relationship's worth 1,000,000.
Okay.
And that's what we talked about with the business. Money is past us. Money is just, you know, an object at this point in time. Friendship and connections and networking, it goes
building good relationships.
Well, I mean, they say
so much
your network is your net worth.
Exactly.
So as long as you guys are continuing to build and build with the right people, I mean, look at this show, for example. We wouldn't be able to do, Zach and I, all we do is sit here and talk. Murph.
He does all the hard shit.
He does all
the magician.
Hard shit. Yeah. I mean, that's,
hey, you guys are good hosts, though. You know, it's one thing to have a podcast, but it's another thing, you know, be a tolerant host, because I mean, and there's no shade at anyone, but there are some pretty controversial pods out there, and that's maybe the goal of it. But I mean, exactly. No Jumper with Adam 22, and there's no shade towards him, but that guy loves to get it going, man.
Sure.
He loves to get it going, man. Seriously. Yep. I mean, the dude's an internet genius. Dude knows how to go viral. I'll give him that. Seriously. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's what we're
looking
for. But
I'd say his audience is pretty shitty. Everything he's built. He's doing good
very,
things.
Very
he's doing
toxic.
Great. His podcast is doing great. He's very controversial. But I would say that the audience he has, I would say it's not an ideal audience.
Well,
for...
let me just say this. Like, I don't know. I can't think of anyone that I know personally that I've talked to that says like, oh, dude, you got to check out this podcast.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Well, I do try to surround myself with positive minded people. And I feel like that is just like is.
It's negative content.
Yeah,
it's negative content.
Really,
like,
right.
You there's enough of that out there that when we sat down to determine, you know, what direction we wanted to go with this, it's like, we want to bring something positive to the world. Like, you know, I mean, let's be real. I mean, being a man in today's society can be pretty controversial.
Just tough.
Man. So we want to bring a positive light to all that and make men aware, like, it's okay to go through the things that you're going through and feel the things that you're feeling. And, you know, like I said, I mean, same thing with being a father. I mean, I'm a single dad. That's really tough. He's about to be a dad for the second time.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, my son turns 2 next month, and then my wife's pregnant with our second due in June.
Bless,
so.
That's a blessing.
Thank God.
That's a blessing.
Yeah. Thank God,
excited.
Bro. That's awesome.
No, it's amazing. It's awesome. It's
so, yeah. So, exactly. Those are the things that we want to share. I mean, it's not going to be controversial, but it's going to be, you know, people are going to stumble across it and hopefully feel uplifted by what it is that we're talking
about.
Feel
a connection, like a connection of feelings.
Right.
Like, oh, he's feeling this way. I've actually felt that way before. Let me listen a bit deeper into whatever they're doing, whatever they're offering, whatever value they're providing to their followers and all the audience that you guys are reaching with this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it all comes down to, I mean, these are words that Murph beat into my head over the last year and a half of us working together. It's all about education, motivation, or
Earth?
No. Entertainment. Entertainment, education, and motivation.
I guess I have to beat it in a little more.
Hey, Murph's doing a little bit of exercise.
I had it in my head, and then I said Murph, and then I lost it.
Hey, look at him. That's a mesmerizing dude over there.
Yeah.
Shout out Murph. Yeah. What a guy.
Michaelis Murph today.
Michaelis Murph.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. He's just chomping at the bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Michaelis on
right.
his birthday.
Shout out to
birthday?
Murph. Happy birthday.
Oh,
happy
birthday, brother. Happy
yeah,
birthday,
that's
a
man.
That's a blessing, bro. Happy birthday. Blessed to see another year, Murph. We're happy to have you here, man.
Yeah,
heck yeah, bro.
Right.
Yeah, we're happy to have
happy
you here.
Happy to have you. Sorry, we're gonna miss out on you this, this
I'm
next
just
week.
Upset I didn't get any birthday strangles this morning.
No
you
birthday
ducked
strangles.
So yeah, you guys were talking positive. About how you don't want to strangle each other.
Yeah.
These two want to strangle each other.
Hey, that's good. Some you know, that's, sometimes it's therapeutic, you know. Not saying anyone should like strangle each other, but like it could be a bit therapeutic.
They
want
to choke each other out all the time. It's all jujitsu stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. You go in the gym, kick the
him
shit
and
out
I both
of each other. You know?
Gym,
yeah,
man.
Exactly.
They're working
I love
on getting
it, man.
Me into it.
Kick his
yeah.
ass
yeah,
a few
Murph,
times.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll ever happen, buddy. Maybe years down the road. We'll get there.
Oh,
we'll get
that's
there.
A challenge right there.
Yeah, hey, you know what? Challenge is challenge.
Look at that.
That's what we want to do. Hey, manhood is about challenging your brothers, man.
Exactly.
Exactly.
All right. Okay.
It's all about earning your stripes, man. He wants to earn that respect for sure. But yeah, I totally agree with you guys. I want to even just touch on that with positivity, bro. I feel like this is a niche that you guys are trying to exemplify to the community in terms of just the podcast world. Just a safe space, you know, and here to, you know, just be okay to like hear people like us out. You know, I'm 22 years old, he's 23, bro. And you know what? We're not ashamed to like go through the struggles that we go through. And we're not ashamed to like, you know, explain our struggles and like our everyday life and, you know, and just talk about the reality of the, you know, the messed up world that we live in nowadays. And me and him talked about this last night. We were in the car and we want to be able to live a long, healthy life, a beautiful life, and be able to leave this world in a better place than we found it, you know. So we're going to do whatever it takes to, you know, contribute our creative to the world, you know, leave it in a better place.
Well, that's awesome. Very admirable. You guys are that young and doing what you're doing. You know, it gives hope, especially oldest guy in this room. I'm yeah. fucking old. Gives older people hope about our younger generations. I mean, yeah. you hear, again, a lot of negativity about every generation. I'm a millennial, so obviously yeah. I'm lazy and don't want to work hard. Obviously, that's
and
not
honestly,
the case.
Even,
you know?
Even in the media, you guys get a lot of flack for just like the way that you guys naturally just like act. You know, there's yeah. like a whole science, you know, to the generation that you're born into and like all millennials. Yeah, they're lazy. They don't want to work. They're entitled and whatnot. But the way I see it, man, it all goes down to your upbringing. It all goes down. And I shout out my parents. They made me work hard and I love them. I love them for it, man.
And we're
I
all
truly
athletes
realize,
here
yeah.
too. There's a different mindset when you're an athlete.
Truly.
Especially college level athletes yes, and to the level that you've gotten at with jiu-jitsu and everything like that. Like there's a mentality that you have to get to that sort of level.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask, it's one of the questions I have written down here is, you know, like the passions and principles that you've learned through sports, how does that translate over into your business? I mean, I know how it works for me and I know how, I mean, we all have that no quit mentality.
Yes, sir.
And that we're going to give everything that we have and failure. It's not really failing. It's a learning experience. Mm-hmm. And how do we get better from that failure? So yeah, you guys want to touch on that?
I would
too?
Say teamwork and integrity.
Yeah.
That's like one of the things I've been prioritizing ever since I started playing soccer. You can't do it all on your own. You need a great team and people to uplift you when you're feeling down. You need to work as a team. You need integrity. You need to be able to be open-minded to what your teammate has to say and somewhat help each other build on that.
No, absolutely. That's great.
And yeah. with me, I think the biggest emphasis in my life is discipline. Mm-hmm. I try to be not as perfect as I can, but as you know, clean cut as I possibly can and leave a good impression on people. You know, I can be trusted, but someone that I want to be able to be relied on, you know, and I want to be able to leave people with an impression that, hey, you know what? Like I can call this dude at 3 a.m. Seriously, you could call me at 3 a.m. I'll be there for you. Whether you want to talk about your feelings, dude, if you're going through something, you want to talk about your feelings. If you need something to be done, dude, if you need something to like, if you need me to go and help you do something, I'm there for you. Seriously, I'll truly make the time and the, you know, the availability for you. And with discipline, I think that it helps me just stay organized in my everyday life. And I personally tend to notice just a change in my attitude as well, especially when you start growing up, and you realize, oh, like I used to think I was the shit in high school, you know, as every normal teenager did. And, you know, I was like, oh, I'm doing all this. Like I'm able to, you know, flex my guns from a social media aspect for, from like, a, you know, a, either a money standpoint or whatever it may be, an emotional standpoint. But I wanted to, you know, just be someone that they can rely on. And with discipline, I think that you can really, truly achieve anything, bro.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that, you know, there's that whole Jocko Willink discipline equals freedom thing. And
yeah.
I'm a true believer in that. Cause I mean, to live a disciplined life is to live, I mean, it is a boring life. I mean, really a lot of it, sometimes it is a boring life. It's a lot of times it's doing that monotonous shit over and over and over again, but that's how you really get good at shit. I mean, it's,
I feel like discipline is doing things that you don't want to do, but you still do it.
That's
because
that's
of the end result. I feel like.
Exactly. Well, and that's truly when you feel like it's paid off.
Yeah. I think Mike Tyson on Rogan's podcast said that, discipline is doing the shit that you don't want to do, but doing it like you love it.
Exactly.
Which I fucking love that.
And it's crazy that you mentioned that because I mean, like I said, it changes your attitude. The way
Absolutely.
That you look at life, I don't see negativity anymore. Like I don't see like when there's an inconvenience, like I'm not going to lose my mind over it and like completely flip out. Like it's like, you know what? I don't want to do this, but it has to be done. And I'm going to do it because that's the way that it's got to be done.
That's the baseball player in you. I mean, you're playing a game where you fail all the time.
That's the thing, Pat.
You know,
and every baseball player knows, they probably heard it a million times. If you're 3 for 10, if you succeed 30% of the time, you are the greatest of all time at baseball. 30% is all it takes to succeed at a Hall of Fame level in baseball. That is how hard it is. It is the most unforgiving sport. I mean, I granted every sport is unforgiving, but baseball it's demeaning, bro. And you're facing these dudes who are throwing balls. I mean, they have different movement on them, you know, and you don't know what's coming. So, I mean, it's got to have that, like, it's got to be able, I relate it to life. You got to be able to react, stay on your feet and be able to react to whatever's coming at you. But in terms of getting knocked on my ass, dude, I've been at some low points in terms of baseball at a mentality standpoint. And it took a toll on just even my mental health. And I was losing sleep. Seriously, I was losing sleep. I wasn't eating. I wouldn't say it. My grades were slipping. I'm a nerd. So my grades were always pretty good, but, it got to a point, you know, where I was just like, damn, like I need to fix something about this. And baseball truly, it helped me become the man that I am today and look at life from a perspective of, if I fail, so what?
That's how you get back up from it.
I'm not, and you know, every day isn't guaranteed, but if I fail, you know what? If I'm blessed enough to see tomorrow, I'm going to do it the right way and I'm going to succeed.
Well, it goes back to the discipline too. So I'm sure if you had a bad day at the plate, what were you doing? Tee work, soft toss.
It wasn't, and it even got to a point where as a hitter, it was the simple stuff you were forgetting. You were like overcomplicating everything. And it was like, stick to the basics, dude. Oh, yeah. I did it for 16 years. Why don't I trust my body?
Yeah.
Trust my body and trust my ability to do it and just turn the brain off and just freaking do it, dude.
Yeah.
Do it.
One of my favorite coaches that I had, rest in peace, Tom Browning, one of the few pitchers to throw a perfect game in the big leagues. He was with the Reds. He was one of our coaches. But his favorite thing was, he's like, be a chicken. He's like, cut the head off.
Run around.
You know what happens when you cut the head off a chicken? The body still runs around.
Yep.
So he'd always be like, cut the head off the chicken.
Yep.
And he's like, get your head out of it. Let your body naturally do what it needs to do.
Exactly.
And, you know, that one hit. I mean, it's just like, fuck, you're overthinking.
Get emotional, yeah.
It's so easy to overthink in that game.
Easy to overthink in life, man.
Yeah,
exactly. And I admire, and it got to a point, you know, where it was like, oh, baseball's the best, this and that. And, you know, I admire every athlete.
Oh, yeah,
Whether you're a baseball player, football player, soccer player, basketball player, shit, even if you're a gymnast or a dancer, I mean, the amount of finesse and the amount of hard work and balance and all of these certain types of things and
hours
emotions.
Hours.
The emotion. It's not even that, man. It's the hours of work, but it's the emotion, dude. Life is about emotion, and when you pour that emotion and that energy into something, man, it's beautiful.
It's
beautiful to admire those types of things, man. So, I mean, shout out athletes and shout out artists, even the people that play instruments, bro. It's truly, life is great.
Right.
Life is great. Like
you said, it all requires a level of discipline.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, all of us here have it. All of us here are successful in what it is that we're doing, and I think that it all translates. It all relates to the same stuff, so. That's awesome. Where do you guys see yourselves with your companies? Where do you want to take STL Kicks? Where do you want to take Concrete Cowboys? What's the future have for these?
You sure?
Yeah. I've talked a lot. Man.
Hey, no, that's fine. We love it.
But with Concrete Cowboy, Juan said this yesterday as well. I want this company to not only outlive me, but I want it to only be the first of many that I create. And I was telling you guys before we even started this, I want to dabble. The both of us want to dabble in every channel that we possibly can. And I mean, it's just a matter of what the heck I want to do. But with this company in particular, I want it to just be appreciated. And, you know, and it's going to be one of those things where people don't appreciate my design. They appreciate the effort that I put into the actual product. I try my hardest to keep everything right now USA based. All of my garment is made in the USA. It's all heavyweight. It's made with quality. And I try and just, you know, put thought again into the design and, you know, something people can appreciate. Not only that they're just going to wear on it, but it's going to obviously have a message on it. You know, it may not be the most sentimental or the most like serious, but it's going to be something, you know, that has a little bit of an aesthetic behind it. And, you know, something that you can appreciate from an art standpoint. So just to become a collective and become a culture, you know, just people to look at it and be like, yeah, bro, like I want to represent this. Like that's what people look for nowadays in these brands and clothing brands specifically is like, I want to do this because, you know, this is my different type of aesthetic. You guys are gym guys. You guys are athletes. You guys just are your dads. You know, you want to be able to have something, you know, humbling, you know, and have something just, you know, classy and all the sorts, you know. And when you look for a brand like that, there's tons out there, but it's like, who does it in a way that I like it? I want to be one of those companies. I do it in my own way, but it's something that someone can appreciate. Or that's even awesome. A community. I'd be blessed, man. I'm blessed already. I only have 150 followers on Instagram right now, but I'm blessed. I'm blessed for all of those 150 followers.
Well,
and
you'll have 152 after this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I truly appreciate everyone that supported me so far. I've had the utmost support from people back home, from my parents, from my grandparents, from everyone. I mean, I've been blessed. I mean, I've sold over 100 products. And, you know, awesome. I've had two drops. And again, I'm blessed to see the amount of people support me. And it's nothing crazy. It's not crazy. I'll show you guys the designs after the show, but I mean, it's just the thought of which not only people are doing it to support me, but I mean, I've had people tell me like, yo, bro, like this is cool. Like, this is cool. What aesthetic. You're doing.
Sweet.
And it's awesome. Just modern minimalism.
I'm excited to see the stuff.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And I try and just, you know, dump my whole creative into it. I mean, you can ask him, I was designing stuff yesterday. I have a drop coming here soon. I truly don't know when I want to announce it, but I mean, I've already looked to like what I want to do for the summer.
That's so awesome.
Well, cool. Let us know. And we'll repost it.
Absolutely.
Sure. Thank you. Appreciate it. And we're like we said, even before this started, we're here to support everyone here. This is a cool little circle that we're in. And shit, I mean, my circle could be as big as a million people. I'm willing to support anyone and everyone that I truly can.
Yeah. We'll shout it out on here too. Once you know when the date is and we'll definitely shout it out for sure.
Thank you so much.
Right,
STL
what
Kicks.
You?
What do we got?
STL Kicks. Fuck. Where? Don't even know if I'm supposed to say that.
You're. Go for it.
No,
yeah. You've said worse.
STL Kicks, bro. I just think of like all the people so far that have contacted me to like try to invest. It's been multiple, 5-6 people. But just thinking of that tells me a lot about this brand. Thinking of all the people that have contacted me. Some guy just texted me last week. He was like, yo, how much money do you need? Let's do something. Like, I'll give you a check. But that just tells me that they see the vision and they see where this is going. That's why they're offering to do all these things. And honestly, that makes me be super grateful for everything I've built. But STL Kicks, ideally where I see it is storefronts in the major, the big cities of the United States. It's storefront coming to St. Louis within the next year or two.
Sweet.
And it's going to be one of the biggest culture sneaker shops here in St. Louis. I already know that. I see what all the other 2-3 stores are doing in St. Louis. And
shout out them. They've created a really cool community.
But what I'm bringing and the stuff, the knowledge that I have, it's not that it's better than theirs, but my business model might just be, you know, there's different levels of business models and stuff. But STL Kicks, where I see ideal, is just something that is in every major city, a culture thing, something that welcomes people that once they walk in the store, they're like, oh, bro, like, I'm not just here to buy shoes. I can come here and just hang out, talk to these guys, give them my 2 cents about how their business could be better and stuff like that. So really just something where everybody that comes in and wants to support feels welcomed and they feel like they have something where somebody will listen to them, someone that will give them advice or someone that will interact with them whenever they're going through something. Just something that welcomes everybody that wants to come in and join the community. That's where I see STL Kicks in. I see STL Kicks in Miami, New York, Nashville, Philly, some of the biggest cities in the United States. Because honestly, those are the cities where fashion is thriving the most. It's big coasts, cities.
Yeah.
And I'm just happy that in St. Louis, I'm able to educate some of the people and tell them, give them some knowledge about the hypebeast culture, sneakers, fashion, all these things. So pretty much, yeah, that's where I see STL Kicks. I just see this to be a brand that got established in St. Louis, but made its way around the whole nation and just welcomes people, brings everyone in as a community and provides value to not just the people that support us and buy from us, to just everyone that wants to come in and join, everyone that feels like they need someone, like they need some positivity in their life. That's really where I see this brand going.
Sick, man.
Let's be real. Everybody's got a secret sneaker. Exactly. You know, fetish in their head. You know, exactly. That's the thing. And it sounds like you're like in the forefront, you're bringing it to the forefront here in St. Louis and almost like the founding father of basically sneakerheads here in St. Louis.
For the youth, honestly. We've had those shops. Obviously, Reset is doing something very special and giving back to the community.
Shout out
to
Bruce, the owner.
Shout out to Colin.
The owner of what?
Reset STL. Yeah. It's a vintage/sneaker shop in Maplewood.
Great dudes. Seriously, they welcome us.
So they have a brick and mortar shop, though?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And even though, honestly, we're competitors, they welcome us in with open arms, and we're able to, you know, be friends and not even talk about business, but just to talk about stuff that's going on in the world right now and be able to handle stuff like grownups, even though they're both significantly older than us. Not significantly, but they're older than us. Yeah, it's truly cool what the sneaker community has gone to, and with him, I even told him about the vision. It's for the youth. We want to really speak out for the youth and the people that really want to get after it. We're all about the people that are younger than us. We just want to be able to, you know, in a society right now that's kind of condescending to younger entrepreneurs and comparative to like the older entrepreneurs, like, hey, don't let their experience or their age threaten you, you know, even if they are a threatening person and whatnot, that's not what it's about, you know?
And that's the thing. Well, things are constantly changing. Everything. There's nothing's this is going to stay the same, whether it's how technology changes things, how our economy changes things, how the political landscape changes things. It's always changing. So you're always having to adapt. So even those older ones, yeah, they may have more experience or have been through something already, but I mean, you're going to be going through the same stuff that they are. And you know, it's awesome that you guys are doing this.
I feel like that's really one of the good things that for the young entrepreneurs is whenever they, because age might scare a 16, 17 year old kid. If he's competing with a 27 year old, that might doubt him. That might make the younger guy doubt himself. But I feel like it's a good thing for the older people to advise the younger guys some of the things that they have to
mentor them. Yeah.
That they have to like overcome. But which with experience, I feel like the older guys could save the younger generation from having to deal and struggle with all the things they struggled.
Exactly. Sure, it doesn't have to be such a personal thing.
Go ahead. Are you sure?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, what makes me think that you guys are in the right like mindset, right headspace and everything is the fact that you're cool with like hanging out with your competitors. And that's like one thing that him and I have done with this show is like, I mean, shit, we've brought on several different real estate agents, several different lenders. So like, yes, our direct competition, but like I don't ever think of people as like my competition. No, like we're all doing
there's
the same
enough
shit.
For all of us.
Dude, exactly. There's so enough. Much.
There's
quality.
A pie. There's
so
pie.
Many.
There's a pie for a reason.
100%.
Call that the abundance mentality.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of having a scarcity mentality where you're having to fight off every single person, that's going to make you a better person.
Yes, sir. And that honestly goes back to faith. Yeah. I mean, if we all truly in this room believe in the same God, I mean, we're all children of Him, man. We're all just on the same journey, and it's learning and living in the teachings that He wants us to live in. And it's beautiful.
God does wonders, bro. Whenever you're going through a tough time or something,
seriously,
just praying is always the best. It always gives me the best outcome whenever I'm going through something, and I just leave it all up to God's, and I make sure that I'm being a good person to everyone I come across. Praying just always, it goes such a long way. Leaving things up to God is just, for me, is one of the best things to do as a business, personal.
Yeah.
And he's in every place that you honestly don't even notice. He's here with us now, honestly. He's in anything and everything that you choose to put him in.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and it's great that you guys are putting faith within your business. I know it's you'll probably get a lot of kickback on that too.
And it's okay. You know what? There's beliefs for a reason. And honestly, I don't care about like who you are, what religious background you come from, what upbringing you come from, your beliefs or anything, political background, nothing. I don't care. We want to just be able to, you know, accept you for who you are. And if you support us, we're willing to give you something that, you know, you're going to be able to enjoy yourself and, you know, give to other people as well. So it's just, it's all a derivative of just our beliefs, but we welcome anyone and everyone. There's no set audience that we want anyone to, you know, feel astray away from or just an outcast from.
Yeah, that's awesome. What I was going to go back and add or say was you made a comment about, you know, mentor or finding a mentor and not letting them go through the struggles or teach you the struggles. But honestly, I think a good mentor is someone that would let you go through those struggles.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sure, they could save you and be like, yeah, do this, do that. But are you really going to learn from that?
Yeah. You learn, you know? whenever you hit the bottom, stuff goes south. I feel like that's whenever you learn, because you're like, oh, okay, next time I'll do this right. Next time I'll do this thing. Next time I won't do that. Like, you learn.
Yeah, you're only going to touch that hot stove so many times,
right?
You know, before you realize.
And
it's
there,
hot.
And there was, and there was, and I think that's what it came to that point. And I'm pretty sure Juan really even wouldn't care me sharing this, but he did. He called me one day. He's like, bro, I just can't do this. He's like, I need help. He's like, I don't know. Like he said, I'm like going crazy. He said, I feel like I'm going fucking insane. And I said, I said, find God. I said, are you like, is everything okay? Like, he's like, bro, God has been away in my life for a little bit. He said, thank you.
Yeah.
Seriously. And it even came to a personal sense where I hadn't heard from him. I hadn't heard from him for a while, like almost a month or two. And he reached out and he said, dude, I'm in a dark place right now. And I said, dude, find God. I'm here for you. And he did the same shit for me.
That's
seriously.
Awesome.
We've been there for each other at our lowest. We've seen each other at our lowest lows. So, I mean.
Well, and here's the thing too. You're not alone in that. I mean, all three of us have been in that exact same spot.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be the last time. I guarantee you it's not the last time. It's almost like on a yearly basis, I'll get to a point where I'm like, fuck this. Yeah. You know, like I'm done. I fucking hate this. I'm done. And then it's usually at that moment, something happens and I'm like, I'm glad I didn't fucking quit. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Something happens. You know,
exactly,
bro.
Exactly.
Yep.
It could be anything, bro. It could be the most stupid thing in the world, but it brings you back and you're like, oh my gosh. Thank you.
One nice text or one
exactly
testimonial or a referral or something that
a compliment
just fucking jumpstarts you back.
Nice into, shoes.
Yeah.
Yesterday we were passing Trader Joe's. We're passing Total Wine. We're going to Trader Joe's. I saw this. He was maybe like, he was an older guy. He was an older guy. He was rocking some Jordans. I just rolled the window down. I said, yo, cool shoes. Bro, I made this guy's day. You should have seen his reaction.
Yeah.
He smiled so big. I was like, bro, I just made that guy's day.
And it makes
something very, very small.
Dude.
It was so happy that I brought so much like joy and gratitude to this guy just by saying, yo, nice shoes, bro. He just looked up, bro. He smiled.
That's
like,
all it takes.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
In my head, I was like, yo, I just made this guy's day.
And it's one of those things where, you know, and I don't know if you guys have had like people as like honestly as emotional as us come on this show and talk about this type of stuff yet, but nowadays, and especially in the teen era, man, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but nowadays, man, dude, kids are fucking mean.
See, I think back to that, but like, this is going to tell you how old I am. We didn't have social media.
Yeah.
We just got cell phones.
Exactly.
You know, so in the cell phones that we had, the most advanced
we
got to play Snake. You know, that was the technology. We had fucking Snake on our little Nokias.
That's so cool.
You know,
or the BlackBerry.
The BlackBerry was on when I was in college. So that's, you know.
That's another.
I played on my mom's red BlackBerry.
Yeah. So those BlackBerries were fucking awesome.
They were awesome.
Oh, yeah,
they really
had a full keyboard.
Yeah, they really fucked that one up.
Shout out BlackBerry.
Yeah. BlackBerry was fucked up.
When you went from the flip phone with the numbers to a full keyboard.
The Razor. Oh, man, this is
a game changer, bro.
And then there comes Apple.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah,
out of nowhere, man.
Fuck
yeah, so
all
like put
y'all.
Things in perspective. Yeah, like I mean, Pat's a couple years older than me. When I was like iPhone came out in 2007.
I was a sophomore in college when the
I got
first
my first
iPhone
at 16. So like that was when like it was I mean, iPhone came out when I was like 14, but I finally got one.
So you were a cool kid when you got the iPhone.
For sure.
When YouTube was just that old TV
It was on the homepage. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's cool, man.
So it's crazy where it's at now. I mean,
innovation, bro. Innovation
it's
evolution.
Yep. Technology has come a long way in a short period of time. But
back to the emotion, man. It's we're not ashamed at all, and I'm glad that honestly we're able to talk about that type of thing, man. And any guy, any kid. I mean, you could be 12 years old, you could be 70 years old, listening to this right now. We're here for you, man. If you truly need this,
We say that every episode.
Don't ever listen to self-doubt. Don't ever listen to your intrusive thoughts. Like, if it's confidence, we're all for it.
Yeah.
But don't ever listen to negative.
I mean, hell, we just did a whole episode a couple weeks ago on us in therapy and the things that we talk about and go through therapy. Like,
really?
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, I'll be the first to admit this. I've never seen a therapist before. I've been in some horrible lows, man. I'm not going to lie. And I went through them by myself. But it goes back to my discipline. It was just one of those things where I had to, you know, train myself, just be strong enough. It was always about being strong enough. But nowadays it's like, you know what? It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to be weak sometimes emotionally.
I'll be honest. And having a therapist changed my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. It helps. I've heard from crazy entrepreneurs, artists, that having a therapist does help you so much.
It's another outlet. It's another, I mean, and this is what's great about this is because it's like therapy for us every week.
Heck yeah.
And so, but I've got my therapist that I go see every couple of weeks and he's seen me through a lot of shit over the last 2.5-3 years. And, I can honestly say that if it wasn't for him, I don't know what kind of mindset or where I would be, because it's been a pretty fucked up 3 years, and that's okay. And it's a season of my life, but getting back to it, if you can find yourself a good therapist, I mean, you don't have to see him all the time, but he's there when you can set an appointment and just go and talk. Like, if you want a referral, my dude's fucking great.
Yeah.
I know Murph has a really good one that he likes. But it's somebody that I would highly recommend. A profession that I would look on, almost like bringing on a part of your team.
Cool. So that's a really good thing about what you just spoke. It's been a fucked up 3 years for you.
Yeah.
And you're still able to do all these things and go through all these emotions. And still now you're here.
Yeah. But you're making
and
these
you're doing
changes,
all these things.
Man.
Like the fact that whatever you're going through didn't make you stop and believe in yourself. That speaks a lot about yourself. And honestly, I look up to people like that because I've been through so much shit that, like, my close friends know, but anybody that meets me, they probably think like, oh, this is the kid that owns Steel Kicks. He's doing
self-made
great. He's doing
prick,
good.
Yeah,
like he's
yeah.
Nobody but knows the backstory. No one knows the underneath of the iceberg.
I look up to people that go through like the hardest shit and they're still like here, just kicking shit, fucking
doing
things up,
positive,
doing good
man.
Things for the community and for all the people. I respect people like that so much, bro. People that deal and go through the worst things ever and they're able to get themselves back up on their feet. That, like, I look up to people like that because I feel like that's where most people give up and that's where most people quit and stop following, pursuing their dreams and doing what they really want to do. When times get tough, they find it easier to just quit. So to not just be able to get past that, but to keep going and keep pursuing, doing great things, that's something I really look up to and like respect in people.
I agree. And honestly, through those tough times, and I know him. I mean, we both have brothers. I'm an older brother. He's a younger brother. My brother, shout out Brady. I hope Brady will end up watching this, but hopefully long enough to hear him say this, bro, dude. That's my best friend, truly. And people talk about, oh, like, siblings are great, dude. There's nothing like true blood brotherhood. It's, I mean, I'm inseparable from him.
That's awesome.
And it's great.
Yeah.
It's great to have a brother.
And you guys bounce a lot. I mean, is he part of the stuff that you're doing?
He is. And he, I was talking to him, shout out Murph, saw him yesterday. I showed him my brother's portfolio because he does social media content and cinematography and photography. I mean, you can ask him. I mean, the kids, and I'm not even tooting his
How
own
old
heart
because
this is my brother. He's 19.
Oh, that's
the
awesome.
The kid is fucking talented, dude. And he was the same way with baseball.
Really?
The most naturally gifted MF'er on the field, and it was like one of those things. It's like watching a Juan Soto or a Ronald Acuna. I mean, it was just like I loved watching him. He just made shit happen.
Mm-hmm.
He was everywhere and anywhere that you could possibly want him, and he just made shit happen, bro. It was truly like art watching him. And I had to work. Truly,
that's how I was.
And at comparative ages, miles better than me.
Yeah,
miles better than me. But I worked my ass off.
Yep.
I worked my ass off. I wouldn't say he was. He's just so gifted. He's so gifted. But when he put in that work, I mean, when he was a little, he was younger, I'll get on his ass. He was younger. Or he was lazy, you know? He would just, like, rely on his talent to get him through it. But there was something that kickstarted him, and it wasn't even me. Something kickstarted in himself. I think it was self-motivation. But, I mean, it just truly was so awesome watching him grow up. That's the best experience, bro, watching your younger brother grow up. And it was just fucking awesome watching him play, dude. And he's just so good. so good.
He's still buying.
He's crazy.
He isn't right now, but he decided to pursue his career with the camera. And dude,
awesome.
And
I'm stepping into a whole new like audience of athletes.
And he's getting with things, it. And he's really blessed to have good people around him. I mean, dude, he's getting close to like CU football with Deion Sanders and all that.
Is he back in Colorado still?
He is back in Colorado. Yeah, he went to a school in Colorado. Some things went down, and you know it didn't really affect him in the best way. But you know he persevered, and he's in a way better space now, and he's happy. That's what matters most. He's happy. And he's fucking killing it. He's killing it. And I showed Murph his stuff yesterday, and Murph was even like, dude, like if he wants to come out here, like
bring him.
Yeah. And it's truly something special. Like he's truly got a very good talent. But I mean, yeah, back to the subject, bro. And he can speak on it too. Having a brother, it's just like, there's nothing in life just like it, man. I mean, me and him could be as close as we are.
Friends could really, yeah. Friends do a lot for like, for me, my friends are like the people that I turn around to. And I'm like, bro, I'm dealing with this. Like, what can I do? What do you think is best? Like, even whenever I'm like making a post, posting some content, I always check with the people that I feel like would give me great feedback.
Honest feedback.
Bro, criticize me. Like, I don't care. Like, just tell me how you really feel. And tell me if this is good for me and for the company, or I just want to hear your advice, your input, whatever you have to say about it. If it's positive or negative, I don't care. I want to hear it. So I think it's great just having good friends, a good circle of people that you can trust with like your stuff, your personal shit. You know, like whenever I go through tough times, all I have to rely on is my friends, because they're just the ones that I'm closer to and I connect to. And it always seems to work out whenever I just call a friend that I'm going through something. They always give me their best advice. They're like, bro, do this, do that. Next time, just make sure that before this happens, you already know. So friends go a long way. Friends and my brother. I appreciate my brother for everything he's done. He's a great guy, great character. So happy that I have him in my life, because he's helped me and he's guided me in the right path the times that he saw me slipping away from things that I wanted to do. So.
Is he involved in the business at all?
No, not at all.
Okay, cool.
And talking about struggles and things like that, especially being an entrepreneur, what are some of the highlights? Like, what are some of your best moments and things that you've learned as being an entrepreneur? And what are some of your biggest struggles that you've come across? Because obviously, we want to promote young entrepreneurs. I mean, I work for a company and I'm in sales and you eat what you kill, but we've got two other entrepreneurs here as well, including you guys. And we want to speak to those people. So give us what's your biggest lesson learned and what are some of your struggles so people can realize like, hey, this isn't easy, but in the end, it's really worth it.
Some of the struggles that I've faced, bro, is just sometimes you click into you go through those things that make you doubt yourself. Self-belief is one of the struggles. But one of the highlights is the people that I meet, bro, I've talked to the sickest athletes, the sickest people ever, just because of this. And that, I feel like, gives me, fuels me with energy, with positivity. It just makes me want to keep going. Some of the struggles are, entrepreneurship is hard as fuck. People think it's like, oh, bro, you're just going to do this and kill it? Fuck no. Bro, there's months where we'll sell 40K, and there's months where we'll sell 5K. But it's like, still with the same consistency, the same work that I approach a 40K month and a 5K month, I keep that same consistency, that same level of energy throughout all of it. It's not just like, oh, this is awesome, bro. Like you struggle, you deal with stuff. Like personally, I've dealt with so many things. Self-belief. I used to have friends that when I started selling shoes, they used to laugh at me. Even through the day, I actually met someone. They're some master students from WashU. I met this person and they just like, they almost made me question what I was doing. Like they almost made me like, yo, is this really good? Like, is this really going to pay off in the future? But then I think back about everything I've done and all the stuff I've created. And it's like, what the fuck? Why would I listen to this person?
Right. Yeah, what the fuck have they done?
Yeah, what are they
like,
cool.
Yeah. You're just a fucking person that's in debt. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, bro, pursuing a master's degree that
doesn't really fucking matter.
Like, right. I feel like at the end of the day, what I'm doing will reward me more because I'm passionate about it. Like, I love this shit that I'm doing. So this person, bro, like that, and this was recently too, this was like a year ago. I went through like 1 or 2 months where I was like doubting myself. I was like, fuck. Like, and then I would talk to people and like, I'd be like, yo, like I'm experiencing this. I'm struggling with this, like self-belief, self-doubt. They'd be like, bro, no, fuck. Like this guy, especially, he's like, bro, what the fuck? You've done more than this person is going to accomplish in their fucking career. You've already done so much because you've experienced so many things, gone through so many emotions. So self-belief and self-doubt is, it's something that people like, people that don't want to see you doing better than them, they'll put that in your head. Like they'll make you,
they'll bring
not
you to their
trust
level.
Yourself. Yeah. And bro, that messed me up a little bit because I was like, yo, like I've done all these things. Like I think I'm going on a great path. It made me think about what I was doing. Like it really made me think about the long-term reward of all this work that I'm doing right now. And I was like, shit, is this stuff really gonna like, but then I look at why I started and it's like, bro,
keep that why.
Exact reason. Like, it's the fire.
Keep that why strong.
It's the eternal fire that we all start in our initial thought. When I launched my brand last year, I remember July 27th, he'll tell you too. I was on a plane to visit my girlfriend in Atlanta. I literally had just gotten off the plane. And I was listening to a song by Lucky. That's kind of what started it. It was 2021 Vibes. And I don't know, there's something about the song. There was a verse that he said talking about, he was talking about just like a cowboy in the flesh. And I was like, whoa, hold on. I like that. Like someone, when you think about like the name itself, Concrete Cowboy, it's, I mean, when you think about something concrete, like it's the most urban, absolute fundamental like form it is. Yeah. That's the almost the exact fundamental meaning of something. And then when you think of, oh, well, concrete, what is a concrete cowboy? Besides the fact that it's an urban gangster, you know, it's someone that is reckless and they want to do whatever. A cowboy is just someone who is just in it for the thrill of it. You know, someone that is willing to be as wild as they possibly can. And that's what I want to do with this brand. I want to be wild with it. I want to be able to go and do things that people are going to be like, whoa, that's crazy. But I like it, you know, and like, but also retain that like modern minimalism where people are like, oh, well, you know, it's simple, but it's like, it's got flair to it. And
it's in a statement. I feel like it's whenever where he wants to take his brand, I feel like he just wants to provide clothing for people to make in a statement that if somebody sees it, they're like, oh, they already have like an opinion of this person or they like this person or they share similar interest.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I think in terms of my specific situation, we've talked about this a million times, the struggles of starting clothing is like everyone wants that like, you know, true Gucci, Louis Vuitton, high fashion fabric that like people put it on and they feel like $1 million, even though they literally pay $1 million for it.
What's that feel like? I don't have that.
I mean, it's just one of those things where, I mean, you put that garment on and even if it's vintage garment that, you know, it's not made anymore, people are hunting for that vintage Carhartt. There's a reason people are obsessed with it. I mean, there just wasn't anything made like it. You know, nowadays it's still made good, but when you put that vintage Carhartt on or that vintage Dickies on, it's like, whoa, like you could feel the weight of it and you could feel the detail and the craftsmanship behind it. And that's truly, it's hard. It's hard finding that. And I was absolutely blessed. Again, shout out Dre. It's one of his really good friends. He pointed me in the right direction and he's been in the fashion scene for 4 years in the heart of fashion, LA. He's there in the fashion district. He's doing his own creative ordeals and he's killing it. So shout out Dre. And it was a big bone. He threw me it, man. And I took it like a little chihuahua and I freaking ran as far as I can with it, seriously. And
he told me how long it took him to find his manufacturer. It took me like a year, almost 2 years to find it.
Really?
And he was like, once I found that, he's like, I'm sharing this with Nico because he's your friend. I appreciate, like, he was like, if you're friends with him, that means he's a good guy. If you have him in your circle. So he was like, I'm going to give him this information. But he was like, bro, this is shit that I had to like.
He worked hard to find.
Sweet.
And it's truly one of those things that I didn't have to go through that struggle. Truly. I didn't have to go through it. And it's one of those things that I do want to, you know, give that fair warning to people that are pursuing clothes. It's hard truly finding a manufacturer, someone that has reliable products. I mean, you could put it on like a Gildan for sure. But with me, the marketability that I want to do is leave it on a garment like that where people, they don't even care. I don't even care if they care what's on the shirt. I want them to put the shirt on and be like, oh.
See, and that's the thing is like, and we talk about this company a lot, and then they just go above and beyond in like everything they do, but First Form.
Oh, yeah.
They, I mean, this is
STL rep.
Yeah. You know, this is one of Andy's lines.
And it looks super nice. I can tell by the garment, the stitching.
It's super comfy. I mean, everything that they produce, their quality is unreal.
Shout out Andy. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. I just gained knowledge of Andy yesterday, and I have a few buddies that play baseball at Mizzou, and they're first form athletes. So, I mean, it's all cool stuff, man. The stuff that they do for young athletes and the way that NIL is changing the game, and it's cool. Yeah. And I'll mention this since we're both baseball players. I don't know if you know this, but First Form is the only company, as far as I know, that is approved by the NCAA to have their products taken by athletes.
Really? And one of the
creatine, pre-workout, protein, all of their BCAAs, all that stuff.
FDA
approved. Yeah. They're the only company. It is absolutely mind-boggling that it came from the city. It's so cool. It's so cool to see what they've grown it into in the First Form gym that they have right across the street from Busch Stadium. It's like what? Like, that's so cool.
Have you seen where their headquarters are?
Is it?
It's on Fenton on 44.
Oh, yeah, right.
I have seen it. I have a storage unit where I keep all my sneakers. I drive by there. I drive past it all.
They just finished the second building of it.
Now there's going
to
be a third.
That's closer to the Wally's, right? To the gas station.
They're both.
You could see it. Like,
oh, no. I was over there the other day and passed it. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And it's cool because the manufacturing's here too. I mean,
they got three buildings the size of Walmart, basically.
Yeah, and it's cool that they're keeping everything manufacturing, distribution. Sure. They're keeping it here. Obviously, they're distributing all over the place, but like everything is here. It's so cool, and then it like brings you back to nostalgic, especially for the culture of St. Louis, which I want to get into because I'm the odd one out here.
Yeah.
It's just so cool when you get reminiscence of AB and what they've provided to the Lou. So I mean, honestly, at that point, hey, all three of you, even Murph, if you want some in, take me through it. I mean, what's it been like growing up as a kid in St. Louis, even since you've been here since you were 9 years old? You told me, what's it like being in St. Louis and being, you know, a homegrown kid born and raised and, you know, being in a community like this where, you know, it's like, it's a big deal. You're like, you always say, hey, what high school did you go to? And everyone knows everything about high school.
You can tell a lot about someone when you ask them. And that's what's crazy is the four of us are all from the exact same area. Of South County. Melville.
Cool. And it's cool.
You would have gone to Oakville.
I would have gone to Oakville.
I went to Oakville. And the school district is Melville, Oakville. So South County. Where at Melville did you grow up?
Right here, actually. Right off Perth.
No way.
Morning Dove Court.
Oh, no shit.
My parents used to live there. And then we moved to Grief Court. But yeah, literally, that's where I grew up.
That's crazy.
And it's super cool, man.
Pulling up here, it was bringing back so many memories. Because I used to ride dirt bikes around here when I was in high school. When I was 15, 16. And I was like, bro, my friends just, I was texting him. I was like, bro, my old house is right by here. My friends live by here. Yeah. I was like, bro, I used to grab my dirt bike and pick up my boys. I used to take my mom's car with my permit and come and pick them up and swoop them and go drive around. And it was bringing a lot of memories coming back here. I was like, bro, this is where like, I kind of like, I grew up, like I would go to parties around
home.
Here. Like,
welcome home.
Yeah.
I was like, this is welcome sick. Back.
Yeah. No, but as far as living in St. Louis, growing up here my whole life, I mean, I've pretty much been here except for the 4 years I was in college, which I went down to Missouri State in Springfield. Cool. And I just love it here, man. It's really all I've ever known. It's just always felt like home. It is like that small town feel, but kind of like a
huge,
you know, big city sort of.
Yeah.
You know, it's little city, small town, big town. What is it? Big town, little city, whatever they say.
Yeah.
And you know, each, you know, the whole high school thing's hilarious. So I don't know
if, really is.
If we have any people that are listening that aren't from St. Louis, like there's this stereotype or whenever you meet somebody in St. Louis, the first thing you ask is what high school did you go to? And like the reason for that the reason for that is because there's so many high schools in St. Louis. Like there's like a crazy amount of like private high schools.
There is.
And so
that's
like
a big
each,
emphasis that I've heard.
Yeah.
Yanni, each CBC and all those academies and whatnot, St. Joe's and whatnot.
Yeah. Nice. There's a ton of like all boys high schools, all girl high schools, then like co-ed private high schools. And then there's all the public schools. And like each one just kind of has their own weird little like stereotype.
Niche,
So you can like prejudge.
Yeah.
They probably based on where they went to high school.
Yeah. Yeah. Like same areas are was, you know, we can't read or write. All we do is drink and fight.
Really? Okay. That's funny.
Oakville was like Tocqueville, Smokeville, Cokeville,
Jokeville.
Yeah. Jokeville. Yeah.
So, and then.
And. Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of the same thing in Colorado, Pueblo, where I'm from. I all throughout high school, I played baseball a ton in Denver with the biggest public school, as far as I know, in Denver. And they're always the best. Again, shout out Mark Johnson. That dude left a legacy on that high school. But I mean, I would get so much shit growing up from the kids up north because And it's crazy. I'll explain to you why. They're like, where are you from? I'm like, oh, Pueblo. And they're like, oh, they give me this really crooked look. And I mean, there's a lot of Latino, Latina community there, and they're awesome. It's home, and it's a special community, seriously. But when I think about it nowadays, it's like, well, people ask me, I was like, well, what's the size population? Like, and I had a roommate that lived in Coyle, it's crazy. I know that term, huh? Columbia, Illinois. Uh-huh. He was like, well, what's like Pueblo's population? And I was like, oh, 162,000. He goes, small town. He's like, dude, Columbia's 20,000 people. I went, what? He goes, yeah. I was like, oh yeah, I always got shit growing up because I was from Pueblo. And it was like the little stinky Mexican town is what they said. Sorry, I am Hispanic. Sorry, yeah. I didn't really mean to say it like that, but that was always what it was. And I mean, nowadays you look at it, it's like, well, yeah, Pueblo's 162,000. And like you look at Springs, it's like 500, not even 700,000, 750. Mm-hmm. And then Denver's like 4 million, 5 million. So I mean, now you could see why it's like one of those things where it's like, dude, and when I tell people not from Colorado, they're like, where'd you grow up? It's like, Pueblo's like, oh, well, like how big was it? And I tell them, they're like,
yeah, that's not a small.
That's not small at all, you know? And then when I come here and you get all these neighborhoods where it's like Shrewsbury, 3,000, Marlboro, 3,000, or like Shrewsbury, 13,000. Yeah. It's like, you look at all these interconnected neighborhoods because where I'm from, it's just one big city. Like we have a Pueblo and then there's like a Pueblo West, which is like the newer city where a lot of the people from the city moved out. It's kind of just out like in the foothills of the mountains, but it's super cool. Like the culture around there is awesome. But I mean, yeah, when we go to like high schools, it's kind of that same thing. We had like, I think we have like 7 high schools kind of in the city limits. I went to Pueblo East, but there was an East, Central, South, Centennial, County, and West. So 6.
Okay.
And growing up, I didn't really live in the city. So I, per those rules, I didn't really like go to like, there wasn't a parameter. I had to go to a certain school. So I like got to choose my high school. So I went to Pueblo East, which is a little bit more of a rougher part of the town. The best people I've ever met.
Yeah.
And from different walks of life. And I have some of my truest friends that go to the school and whatnot. But growing up like that, I was always just curious. And even being here for the 3.5, 4 years that I've been here, it's truly interesting to see like the upbringings of different areas and like what people truly think of this place. Cause it's a big city, but you hear about it so much, even in the news, it's such a wholesome and interconnected community for as big as it is, you know, 2.8 million. It's crazy.
It's melting.
And you guys are as close as
pot. Yeah. Well, and you said something there that like, you know, there's so many different little neighborhoods,
yeah.
You know, like you said, like Shrewsbury, Webster, Kirkwood, you know,
then Marlboro,
you
start getting into even the city, Afton, and whatnot,
The Hill,
Hill, and then Bevo Mill, and all that stuff. You know, so it's super, super cool.
Boulevard Heights, Princeton Heights, exactly. Central Western.
And when I got here, people were like, oh, like what have you explored yet? I'm like, bro, and I was like firing off names, and they're like, whoa, that's like crazy that you already like remember these areas. I'm like, dude, I want. Yeah, it's like, where are you? Like, oh yeah, just exploring St. Louis, but like, I truly appreciate every neighborhood that's been here. A lot of this, shout out the Italianos, but the Hill is something special to me and my family. It's truly awesome. And me and Murph were talking about this yesterday.
You said your Hispanic background, correct?
Yeah, my mom is her maiden name is Chavez. Her parents had ties from Spain. And
Have you made it down to Cherokee Street yet?
I've not. No,
it's like the Mexican.
I was
borough.
There on Friday.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I just like went to the
authentic
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bunch of good little.
No. Okay. Yeah. We were over there. I didn't go on to that. Was it El Torito?
El Torito. It's like a huge Torito, Mexican market. It's one of the biggest.
And that's what he told me. And I was like, bro, I'm looking for that because you know I was getting my biases. I was like, okay, where's
the
Mexican
food?
Yeah. Coming from Southern Colorado, it's
Cherokee Street.
It's good. Cherokee Street. Let's check that out for real. Yeah, but no, it's super cool, man. But it's the Italian food here is like it's seriously otherworldly because people are like, you're like New York Italian food. And I've gotten to go to Little Italy in New York and be able to like, you know, taste some world class Italian food. But when I came here, it was like, whoa, reminiscence of that. So, super cool.
What's crazy about St. Louis too is we're a French settlement.
French settlement. But
do we really have any really good
food? Le Cri.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
MFLE.
I saw a TikTok, bro. I think it was the St. Louis City, and it was like, oh, how we pronounce, like, it was that French teacher teaching our French, and everyone was like, oh, what is it, La Clé? And he was like, and the class was all, La Clé.
Yeah.
And all these other French words. Yeah. Bonfinet.
Yeah. Chateau.
Yeah, exactly. Chateau. Paris, and it was like, De Pair.
Yeah.
I laughed, bro. I seriously giggled, because I'm like, you know what? And I saw the St. Louis flag because I wasn't truly educated on it. I saw the
Florida.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, oh, that's like really French. I was like, I don't really know anything about it, but I know that it's like it's got French background to it. You know,
Gravois.
Exactly. I love it, bro. It's everything. Like it's such a, all of the stereotypes and like what the community jokes about. It's so cool, bro. It's so cool to be able to like joke about stuff like that, because people get so offended nowadays about small things. And it's not like I'm trying to invalidate feelings or anything, but it's like, it's gotten to a point where it's like,
yeah, tilt your head a little words bit. Aren't violence.
Like, it's not that
you
deep.
Tilt your, no. You tilt your head a little bit and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm just going to like, you got to pick and choose what you say nowadays. Cause truly like that cancel culture, we have to beat it, especially as men. And I know that we could talk about this on this podcast because it's a safe place for that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And it's just one of those things where, you know, men, all the men out there, whether, and it doesn't even matter. I don't care what your background is. I mean, I'm a baseball player, but I love fashion. It's two otherworldly type of things, you know, where people get flack for it. And even if I told you guys, would you guys believe me if I told you I hunted at a very young age? Like, all I did was hunt.
Probably not.
My dad. I mean, you never look at me and be like, oh, this kid probably never hunted before. I mean, I bow hunt. That was my background.
Really?
Bow hunt. Sick. Bull elk with my dad all the time. It was cool. One of those things. So, I mean, men, everyone out there, for everyone tuning in and watching this type of thing, man, don't let anyone put you down, no matter what your background is. And don't be afraid to tell other people and be accepting of each other, man. We're all in this together, truly. The men.
I mean, that's what makes a man. A man is someone that is accepting.
And it's crazy because it's like, there's always this crazy connotation. It's like, oh, men are like crazy. Like all this stuff is like, we are the most simple creatures you can ever think of. We're simple. Right. We're like the most simple people ever. And people like to overcomplicate us. And there's no shots at women, but I mean, they're like, oh, you guys are like so crazy. Like, how do you like deal with these types of things and the way that you deal with them? It's just like, it's because girls are so, they're emotional and we love them for that. That's the duality of humans.
Mm-hmm.
They're the loving, emotional, like, and even we're emotional, maternal, but they're like the eternal, like everything is home around them, you know? And that's, it's beautiful. It's beautiful the way that women were created and the natural characteristics of them and us men, the way that we are, it's just, it brings the most pure duality to the table. And it's just, it's cool to appreciate it just from a fundamental standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Completely agree with that. So one thing we like to do with all of our guests, or we've just started doing with our guests, it's called the Tombstone Game. This is usually what we do towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
All right. Here lies Nico. Here lies Juan. What is inscribed on your tombstone?
I'll let you go first.
This is a tough one.
Yeah, no. If you
like to catch you guys,
we might be in a little lull for a second because I truly like.
So here, think about it for a minute here.
For example,
we're not in a hurry.
Yeah, for example,
maybe something as lighthearted as
your lies.
Rock on.
Yeah,
it can be whatever you want. Here lies Pat Doyle, a loyal friend, and left every room better than he entered. That's what I would want inscribed on mine. So doesn't have to be anything super crazy or super thought out.
I'd say a loving, optimistic, positive person. Something that,
yeah,
perfect.
All right, it's all we need.
Honestly,
it's perfect.
What I want to do, just two words, love all.
There you
that's it, wouldn't even be a message about myself, but just a message to other people. Love all.
Awesome,
cool, love it,
guys. We appreciate you having on.
Yeah,
you getting shout out, whatever you want to shout out. Here's your chance. What do you guys want to give a shout out to?
I want to give a shout out to you guys for inviting us. I appreciate
that.
That's
what we wanted to address first off. Shout out you guys, and honestly, God, shout out Juan, shout out Murph, shout out everyone, bro. Seriously.
Shout out to the producer Murph,
boy,
the boy Murphy for real,
and top tier production.
Shout out STL Kick, shout out Juan for bringing me on and giving me the opportunities, and it's been a pleasure to meet everyone that we've met thus far. Shout out my family, shout out God, first and foremost, shout out God.
Awesome,
right on. Well, and shout out to Concrete Cowboy too. One, we forgot to shout them out at the beginning of the show, but shout out to our friends at NeuroGum.
Don't worry,
they kept everybody caffeinated and alert throughout the whole show. So shout out to our friends at NeuroGum.
Wire!
We will. thanks you guys for tuning in. If you could, make sure you hit that subscribe button, tell a friend, hit that like button, comment down below what you thought. We will see you guys on Monday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shout out.